Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning. I hope that you're having a great day. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it regardless of what's going on. God is on his throne, and we can trust him, and we can praise him, and we can keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Well, do you remember the CB radio craze? When I was in junior high school, when I got introduced to the CB radio phenomenon, and everybody was buying a CB radio on the CB radio, and movies were coming out. I think that probably the most famous movie that really solidified the CB radio was Smokey and the Bandit, with Burt Reynolds and Jerry Reed and Jackie Gleason. Everybody thought it was, at least in my era, I thought it was so cool that you could talk on the radio there in your car. Well, one of the things that you remember, CB radios had, they had a lingo, and if you were, you had to have a handle, and that was just what's your name on the radio, and so you what's your handle, good buddy, you know, things like that. And then you had to know there were codes, like a 10-100 was you had to go to the bathroom. What's your 20? That's your location. Policemen weren't called police, they were called Smokies. That's why that movie was Smokey and the Bandit. And you talk back and forth, and you had all these channels. And so one of the common phrases was Breaker 19. That's Channel 19. Breaker 19. You're breaking into Channel 19. And I remember the first time I ever did it with a friend of mine, Eddie Baker. He said, okay, now ask for a radio check. That just meant, hey, how am I coming in? Will someone give me a radio check? Yeah, I read you loud and clear. And hey, good buddy, what's your handle? And you just try and talk to this person. It was our version in the 70s of a chat room. And so anyway, Breaker 19 for a radio check. Many people remember that. Well, this morning on the program, I want to issue this call. Breaker 19. Not for a radio check, but for a heart check. Let's check our hearts this morning on Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. How's your heart for the Lord? You know, people that come to church Sunday after Sunday, it's very easy to forget what Christianity is all about. It's all about heart. It's not about going through the motions. It's not about religious service and religious duties and checking the box. So many people, they get caught up in that, and it's all about, well, I did this and I did that and I did the other. You know, I wrote an article. I do every Friday send out an email encouragement piece that I write. It's free. You can go to fromhisheart.org and sign up for the email encouragement letter that I send out. And it's just a devotional that we do every Friday. We've been doing this now for about 20 years. And I wrote a piece about the narrow road, the straight and narrow, I think is what I called it. And I said, you know, Jesus said that there's a narrow road, and, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, but the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Matthew chapter 7. And I said, you know, on the narrow road that leads to life, that's the Christian life. We are called to live on the narrow road, and we're called to walk by faith and not by sight, and we're called, as Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. As Paul said in Galatians 5:16, that we need to yield to the Spirit and not carry, so we would not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Now, on this narrow road, you have ditches on either side. And one ditch, as we get into the flesh, is the ditch of legalism, the ditch of trying. That's what the Galatians were doing. And Paul said, "You foolish Galatians," it's Galatians 3, "who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the one thing I want to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Well, obviously, it wasn't from the works of the law. It was from hearing with faith. He said, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh?" So one ditch on the straight and narrow, the narrow road that leads to life, is the ditch of legalism. That's religion, checking boxes, trying to be so circumspect on the outside. That's what the Pharisees did. They were all these rule keepers. They were box checkers. And Jesus said to those guys, "This people honors me with their lips. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you." And he quotes from Isaiah 29. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." All your worship, listen, if you fall into the ditch of legalism and you're trying to do good in the flesh and you're trying to perfect yourself in the flesh, Jesus said your worship is worthless. "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Now, the other side of the straight and narrow is the ditch of license, licentiousness. That's a life that you just say, "Hey, I'm saved. I can live however I want." And people that fall into that ditch are not walking by the Spirit, obviously. And the Bible makes it clear, hey, if you're living that way, you got to really check to see if you've ever been saved. If you think that Christianity is your license to sin and grace is a license to sin, then you don't understand grace. And when you really get saved, I like what Adrian Rogers used to say, God doesn't fix it so you can't sin anymore. He fixes it so you can't sin and enjoy it anymore. How do you know you're really a Christian? You know you're really a Christian because when you sin, you feel it. And it's not that you can't sin, it's that there's a desire in your heart to not sin. And doesn't mean you live it perfectly, because nobody lives the Christian life perfectly. My little children, I'm writing these things to you, 1 John chapter 2, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. So Breaker 1:9 for a heart check. How's your heart? Are you on fire for the Lord? Is there passion there? Is there love there? You remember when Jesus was asked, "What's the greatest commandment?" Well, his answer is interesting. What's the greatest commandment in the law? You know, the religious leaders would argue back and forth. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, they would argue about the greatest commandment. Well, obviously, when you think about the greatest commandment, your mind immediately goes to the commandments that God wrote in stone with his own finger, as the scripture says. You would think of the Ten Commandments. Which one of the Ten Commandments is the greatest? But Jesus, when he was asked that question, he didn't say one of the Ten Commandments. He said the greatest commandment is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." It's called the Shema. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind." And Jesus said, this is the great and foremost commandment. Now, the second commandment is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets." Interesting, because it fits in with the Ten Commandments, two tablets of stone. The first tablet is all vertical. It's the commandments in our relationship with God directly. And then the next six commandments are all horizontal, how we treat people. So love God and love your neighbor as yourself. The vertical and the horizontal are in there. Well, I've been preaching through on Wednesday nights. We started at the beginning of the year a series on the book of Zechariah. Zechariah is a great book One of the minor prophets. It's the second to the last book of the Old Testament. Lots of quotations in the New Testament come from Zechariah. We're getting ready to celebrate Palm Sunday across the nation, across the world. Palm Sunday is this Sunday, and no doubt you're going to hear in many, many churches the prophecy from Zechariah about your king comes to you on a donkey, the foal of a beast of burden, Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah is quoted over and over in the New Testament. So many prophecies about the Lord's coming, his first coming, and then his second coming. Well, I've entitled the series, The Best Is Yet to Come. But I got to tell you this, preaching through Zechariah is tough, because he has a lot of apocalyptic visions, and you're reading that and you're scratching your head saying, what in the world does that mean? Well, he has eight visions in one night. And then in Zechariah 7, the visions are over, and it's he's at the halfway point. You know, Zechariah came along with Haggai to the exiles. They had come back from Babylon. They'd come back with Zerubbabel, his friends called him Bubba. And Zerubbabel took back 50,000, and Joshua was the high priest. And they came back from Babylon. The king, Cyrus the Great, let him come back. And they came back for one main purpose, and that was to rebuild the temple. The temple had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC, totally wiped out Jerusalem. So first thing they're going to do, they come back to Jerusalem, we're going to rebuild the temple. But they got derailed, they got sidetracked, they had opposition, and so then they quit doing it, and they just started building their own houses. And if you read the book of Haggai, just a couple of chapters, he issues a stern reprimand from the Lord. Is it time for you to build your house while my house lies desolate? God says, I'm not going to bless you. I'm going to, you bring home your pay. I'm going to blow it away because you're putting yourself above me. And so the people began to rebuild again in 520 BC. And in chapter 7 of Zechariah, at the midpoint, this is, the Bible gives us dates, December 7th, 518 BC, you had some delegates come to inquire of the Lord. And they want to know something. They said, hey, we've been fasting. They came from the town of Bethel, which was 12 miles to the north of Jerusalem. They said, you know what? When you guys were all in exile, we were fasting on the fifth month and on the seventh month. Fifth month was their commemoration of the destruction of Jerusalem, when Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed it. It would be like, we remember Pearl Harbor Day, that kind of thing. And so we've been fasting in the fifth month because that was the month that Jerusalem was destroyed, and the seventh month because that's when Gedaliah, the governor that Nebuchadnezzar put in charge, that's when he was murdered. Do we have to still fast? And the question is kind of worded in such a way that they are hoping that the religious leaders tell them, no, you don't need to keep fasting. Well, God never commanded them to fast anyway. But here is the question, and it is such a penetrating question. Zechariah says this in chapter 7, verse 4, then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, these 70 years, was it actually for me that you fasted? Did you do it for me? And he goes on to say in verse 6, no, you didn't do it for me. You did it for yourself. You were just checking boxes. You didn't do that because you loved me, because you wanted to honor me. You weren't fasting for me. You were fasting for religious service, thinking that somehow that was going to earn you points with me. Breaker 1:9, for a heart check. How is your heart? When it comes to your spiritual life and your quote-unquote religious service, what are you doing it for? What is your motivation? Are you actually doing it for the Lord, or are you doing it for yourself to check a box and to win some points in your mind? Well, that's our discussion today. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives. So be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the question from Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5, when the delegation came from Bethel to say, hey, do we need to keep fasting? We fasted all these 70 years while Judah was in exile, and we were doing all these things, and we didn't necessarily see God bless us for that, but do we need to keep doing it? And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet. And he speaks for God, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, these 70 years, was it actually for me that you fasted? Did you do it for me? Now, we've entitled this this program today, Breaker 1-9 for a Heart Check, you know, from the CB craze of yesteryear where people would get on their Breaker 1-9 for a radio check. Well, we want to check our hearts because Christianity is all about heart. God cares about having a relationship with you, and he cares about it being real. I think about that Santana song, give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about it. We have far too many people who have religion, but they don't have a genuine relationship with the Lord. They don't have this heart relationship. And I shared Wednesday night with our congregation, I said, you know, it's not hard for us to figure out. You think about a relationship with your spouse, and, you know, you can go through the motions of marriage, or you can have a marriage where you really love one another, that there's passion there, there are emotions there, there's a desire there. You're really connecting, and you're not just, you know, two ships passing in the night. Now, Debbie and I have always been very conscious of that, and we'll call the other out if we feel like we're becoming roommates. You know, this is what happens so often in a marriage. You have the couple, they fall in love, and then they get married, and then the husband says, well, now I got my wife, my trophy wife, I'm going to put her on the shelf, and now I'm going to go slay the giants and the dragons in the work world and make my name in business or whatever his profession is. And he starts devoting his energies to that. And the wife's like, well, what happened? Wait a minute. We were talking so much and you were communicating with me and we had these wonderful times together. And now it seems like it's different. And then kids come along. And what does the wife do? So she says, well, my husband seems to be having an affair with his job. So I'm going to have an affair with the family and I'm just going to pour all my energies into the kids. And that's how they do life. And they're just kind of co-parenting together. And they're really not building into the marriage. And the kids grow up and move off. And then they look at one another and they're like, I don't really know you anymore. And that's why we see so many marriages end in divorce after the kids are grown. Well, that's not good. Well, what happened? Well, there wasn't the vibrancy. There wasn't the passion. There wasn't the life there. And what happens in marriage so often happens. See, marriage mirrors our relationship with the Lord. Ephesians 5, when the Lord talks about the husband and wife relationships, he says, this mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. The church is the bride of Christ. How does Jesus deal with us? He loves us. He nourishes us. He cherishes us. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And so that parallel is in there. Now, in our relationship with the Lord, if we're not careful, if we have a genuine relationship with the Lord, we're going to fall into the ditch of legalism, or we may fall into the ditch of greasy grace, as it was called in seminary, where you just put everything under the grace of God, and I can kind of live however I want. You know, Jude warns about that taking place. He said certain persons have slipped into the church and they've come in, crept in unnoticed. Those who long beforehand were marked out for this condemnation. What were they doing? Ungodly persons who turned the grace of our God into licentiousness. That is a license to sin. And deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, as a Christian, I mean, we are to obey the Lord. You shall be holy, he says in 1 Peter chapter 1. You shall be holy as I am holy. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. So we don't fall into the ditch of legalism where we're just checking boxes and our relationship with the Lord just comes, well, I had a quiet time, check. I went to church, check. I did this, check. I put money in the offering plate, check. I'm a good boy, check. And the Lord says, well, you're honoring me with your lips, but I care about your heart. When's the last time you really had a conversation with the Lord and you opened up completely, you were vulnerable with him? Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us. Well, the question is, from the Lord, when you did all this fasting and mourning in the fifth and seventh month, was it actually for me that you fasted? That question has been ringing in my ears for the last several days. Well, he answers the question. It's a rhetorical question because the answer is no. They didn't. He said, you did it for yourselves. And the evidence that you didn't do it for me is that you didn't listen. And he goes back to their forefathers. He said, why did you end up in captivity? Why'd you end up in Babylon? Well, because you didn't listen. You know, the land was populated and was prosperous, but I warned you and you blew off my prophets and you blew off the warnings and you wanted to do your own thing and you were you weren't showing kindness and compassion. You weren't dispensing true justice. You were taking advantage of the poor and the widows and the helpless. And you were going after the false gods. And the Lord put an end to that. And so we have to check our hearts. And, you know, when you really consider your motive, here's the thing. Why? See, it's not just at the judgment seat of Christ, which is the judgment for all Christians. Not a judgment to see whether you go to heaven or hell. That's determined in this life when you trust Christ or you don't. But at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord is going to look at two things, what we did and why we did what we did. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he makes this statement, verse 5. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Hebrews 4:13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God looks at the heart, as the Lord told Samuel when he was getting ready to anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And he thought Eliab, Jesse's oldest son, David's oldest brother, was the one. And he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And the Lord said, no, I've rejected him. He said, don't look at the outward appearance. He said, man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart, and God looks at your motive. And so you ask yourself this sobering question, why do you do what you do? You know, people can, they can sing in the choir, but what's the motivation? It's all about me. They can teach in Sunday school. What's the motivation? What's behind it? It's all about me. You can preach a sermon. You can be on the radio. What is the motivation? Why are you doing that? Well, I'm doing it for me. And the question from the Lord, was it actually for me, the Lord says, that you did these things? Was it for me that you fasted? So it's sobering when we consider our motives, and it's very convicting when we see our true heart, when the Lord tells us, as he did to the people, Zechariah 7:6, you did it for yourselves. You didn't do it for me. You did it for yourselves, and you see your true heart. Now, so much better, Breaker 1:9 for a heart check, so much better to check your heart now when you can do something about it, because when you die and you stand before the Lord at the Bema judgment, B-E-M-A, it's pronounced Bema, not Bema, at the Bema judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, well, then it's over, and then you're going to be judged by your deeds done in the body. 2 Corinthians 5:10. That doesn't mean you're judged and you say, well, I'm not going to heaven. No, you're going to heaven, but it's a judgment of works. It's a judgment to determine reward. You know, we can build with gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and straw, and it's tested by fire. And Jesus said that the fire is going to test the quality of each man's work. And if you built your life and you lived your life in the ditch of legalism as a Christian, well, it's going to all be burned up. And the Lord says, you know, you sang in the choir, you did this, you did that, you gave your money, blah, 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 but you did it for yourself. I've even noticed among some pastors, their hospital visits and their bereavement visits, it's not for the person, it's for themselves. And that's a bad deal. You don't want to do things for yourself. You want to constantly make sure that your heart is right. David in Psalm 139 had the great prayer, verses 23 and 24. It's a prayer every Christian needs to pray on a regular basis. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the everlasting way. God is all about having a heart relationship with you. And the Lord is quick to call us out, just like he did the church of Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, when you leave your first love. You know, the church in Ephesus was a good, solid, strong, orthodox, Bible-believing church, as we put it in the vernacular of today. But the Lord says, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. You don't love me like you used to. And you think about, go back to marriage. I mean, do you love your spouse like you did when you first got married? Debbie and I have the testimony that says, hey, things may be different from when we were in our early 20s, physically and things like that. But man, the passion is still there. The excitement is still there. And I know more about her, and I appreciate her and love her more today than I did 38 years ago. Because we've grown in our love. And that's the way it's supposed to be in our Christian life. The longer I serve him, the song says, the sweeter he grows. And if we start to drift and leave our first love, the Lord calls us out on that. Hey, you need to return to me. And I love that in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, the Lord says, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. And isn't it interesting that that command to return to him is also repeated in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Well, we can return to God and we can get that relationship back, and we want to have that fire for the Lord, that passion for the Lord that just oozes out. You know, we talk about shine and share. Shine is your life, share comes from your lips. And if we don't have shine, and if there's not the passion for the Lord that's there and that's evident, our sharing just seems cold. It just seems lifeless. And you become just like the religious leaders of the first century of Jesus' day. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me. And listen, if you go to a cold, dead church that has left their first love, they might have good doctrine, but nobody seems to be very excited about Jesus. He wants us to be on fire for him, in love with him. There's passion there. There's emotion there. That's the way the Christian life is to be lived. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment on this subject about your motives, about your heart, about realizing that, hey, if I'm barking up the wrong tree, if I've fallen into the ditch of legalism or fallen into the ditch of license, so the ditch on the other side of the straight and narrow, and I'm letting some sins just kind of go unchecked in my life, you got to get those right with God. So 1 John chapter 1 is a chapter I go back to over and over and over again in my mind and in my heart. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He is holy, holy, holy. Now, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But, see, we don't have to live like that. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's us with God. We can have fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hey, you fall into sin. I fall into sin. We fall into sin. The Apostle Paul fell into sin. The Apostle John fell into sin. You know, that's one of the things about Jesus washing their feet in John chapter 13. You know, Peter didn't want him to wash his feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And he said, well, not my feet. Wash me completely. My head, everything. And he goes, no, you've already been cleansed. You've been saved, so I don't have to wash your whole body. I just have to wash your feet. And as we walk in this world as believers, we do fall into sin. We do get dirty, and we have to constantly come before the Lord and let him wash our feet. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, the phone lines are open and we have Lewis on the line. We'll come to Lewis when we come back from the break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Breaker 19 for a heart check. We'll be right back.
Bible.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about our hearts. God wants our hearts, and he wants us to know him heart to heart. He wants us to have a true, authentic relationship with him, and he wants us to be on fire for him and have a passionate love for him. As the prayer of Erwin Lutzer has echoed through my brain for years and years and years, I pray this prayer often. Lord, give me a passion for you that would far exceed my passion for anything else. So how is your heart when you consider why you do what you do? As the question comes in Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5, was it actually for me that you fasted? as they were asking a question about fasting. Were you doing it for me? What is your motive? What is your heart? Is it right with the Lord? Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you. And we have Lewis on the line from Louisiana. Lewis, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Thank God for you, Pastor Shreve. And surely you are a man after God's own heart. You and your wife, thank God for that.
Thank you.
Just, I want to ask for prayer for me and my wife, you know, that we will be on one accord and be passionate for God and the things of God.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's do that, Lewis. Father in heaven, I thank you for Lewis, and I thank you for him calling in today. Thank you for his kind and encouraging words. I ask you to just bless him and bless his marriage, and that his heart would be wholly devoted to you, and so would his wife's. And God, that you would help them to grow closer to one another as they grow closer to you. And Lord, just as David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful, evil ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I just pray that for myself. I pray that for my brother Lewis, and God, that we would just deal with any sin that has come into our hearts so that we would truly walk in the light with you. And so put your hand of blessing on him and his marriage and his family, and Lord, use him in great ways. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you. Thank you for calling, Lewis. I appreciate that. Well, you know, the Lord in Zechariah 7, he does issue a warning because he reminds this delegation that came from Bethel to ask this question, you know, can we quit doing this stuff? It's like, well, I never commanded you to do it in the first place, and you were never doing it for me anyway. But then he lets them know, listen, if you don't listen to me like your forefathers didn't listen, God is not a God you can blow off. He's a great king. And so he says, if you don't listen, and this is how he ends the chapter. He said, they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. They made their hearts like flint so that they could not hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. And just as he called and they would not listen, so they called and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. And he scattered them with a storm wind among all the nations whom they had not known. Thus the land is desolated behind them, so that no one went back and forth, for they made the pleasant land desolate. You know, when we just say, well, God, I'm going to put you on the back burner, and I'm going to just pursue my own interests, and, you know, I just kind of tip my hat to you. What happens at Easter? We're getting ready to have Palm Sunday and then Good Friday a week from today and then Easter Sunday. And the churches around the country are going to have more people than ever on Easter Sunday. Well, I think that's wonderful on one hand. And it just shows on the other hand that we think we can tip our hat to the Lord. We can just, we're just going to pay you our respects on Easter because, you know, celebrate the resurrection. If you tip your hat to the Lord and you don't bow your knee, that's a mockery. The Lord is not, he's not interested in your platitudes, in your little tip of the hat. He is God. He demands your life, as the song from Isaac Watts says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands and feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. We don't tip our hat to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We bow our knee. We surrender our lives to Him. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we also will be revealed with Him in glory. Hey, is Jesus your life? We don't have any life apart from Him. He gives all of us physical life, but spiritual life, Jesus said, you know, abide in me, John 15. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Is He your life? Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly, that we would have life that would last forever and life in this physical existence, in this world, that it would be abundant, that it would be filled with the good things from the Lord, the life in the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, the fruit of the Spirit. All those things would just teem in your life, would just overflow in your life because you're walking in the light with Him and it's real. And when the Lord asked the question, did you do this for me? Did you give me your best? Was your heart in this? And we can say, yes, Lord, I did it for you because I love you. And it's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about my glory. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Psalm 115. That's what it's all about. 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk. We have Veronica on the line from Texas. Veronica, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. I had a question. If after you check your own heart, if at, you know, at the end of the service or the beginning of the service or in between, you know, the worship leader says you can go say hi to your neighbor, is it appropriate to ask whoever you're beside, where their heart is with the Lord? Or is that something to do after church or at other functions?
Yeah, a good question, Veronica. And this is, just so our listeners know, this is one of my favorite people in the whole world, Veronica Ubrey. And she has such a heart for the Lord. She's been a guest on the program before to share her testimony. It's a powerful testimony and just how the Lord has worked in her life. And she has such a heart for evangelism. I just love that about Veronica. So, well, Veronica, I think it's probably at the meet and greet time, that might not be the best time. But I think it's good for us to ask, you know, ask each other, hey, you know, how are things going in your relationship with the Lord? Now, what I've found is you have to have a relationship with that person. They have to have some level of trust with you. So doing that with a total stranger is probably hard for them to open up. But when you have a relationship with them, I think it's good to say, hey, okay, let's get down to brass tacks. How are things going spiritually? You know, it's kind of like when you ask the question, okay, how are you doing in your marriage? Oh, everything's going pretty good. You know, it's like they might be falling apart, but they don't want to tell you that unless you kind of press a little bit and probe, okay, tell me really, how are you doing? How are you doing in your marriage? And then they may, you know, open up and say, well, it's really tough right now. So, but I love it, Veronica, I love the way you are bold in your witness and you're always looking for ways to talk to people about Jesus. And so for the listeners, how do you go about that? Is that just such a natural thing for you or do you have to think about it?
Well, I had another question for you that has something to do with that.
Okay.
While you were talking, you said, you know, you're not to take advantage of the poor or the widows, right? Because mm-hmm. that's a sin. And right. So someone came to mind that I, you know, a house was pointed out and, you know, what they do to earn the money and whether or not to witness to them, because we know that the way to hell is broad and we don't want them to end up there. And if, you know, if cash or money or whatever it is on their throne, we don't want them to go to hell. Is it appropriate to write them, you know, through the mail and say, hey, I don't know if you know the Lord, and if you don't, you know, and then just witness to them
And this, who are the people? Who are the people you're witnessing to in this scenario?
They give out loans to, like, they have businesses that would give out loans to those that are down on their luck, that don't have money. They need to make payments on stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's always a good idea. You know, you just make sure your heart is right. And when your heart is right and you really care about the person, you know, people can tell. And Veronica, you do a great job with this because you have a heart for people. But they can tell when you're doing it, you know, to get a notch on your belt, so to speak. You know, I'm gonna witness to another person, as opposed to, hey, I love this person. I don't want to see this person go to hell. I'm gonna talk to them about their soul because I care about them. And I think that is that makes the difference. And so when we have that. Yeah, I think we can let it rip. And anybody the Lord puts on your heart, and you do a great job with that, with sending out letters and doing different things that are maybe a little out of the box from how, you know, the norm would be. I loved to tell the listeners how you did the laundromat witnessing. What did you do for that?
Well, so God placed some carpet bugs in my house, so he got me to the laundromat to go wash all my stuff. And as I was there, I just saw a variety of different people. They weren't talking to anybody, and my heart just burned. I don't know if any of them, you know, knew the Lord. I saw one lesbian couple. So I went home and I've been praying, and he just told me, you need to go back. I'm going to give you some more wash to clean. And you need to go back up some laundry detergent pods and some dryer sheets and get testimonies. And the church had tracts. And so I went to the church and I just like gobbled up all the tracts that they had. And I would just hit all the laundromats in Texarkana. And I would just, you know, ask them, you know, if they knew the Lord, if they kind of were standoffish, I just gave them the track and my testimony and just asked that they would have a blessed day and invite them to my church. But if they had time, you know, the Lord can wash your sins away. And he did that for me, and I want him to do that for them. And so that's kind of how it went last Easter, and that's how it went about. And yeah. I don't know if any of them did come to know the Lord, but he uses everything for good, and yeah. It wasn't wasted, and he blesses that. So he's going to seek them out.
Amen. Amen. Well, you just don't ever know, Veronica. You know, when we share the word with people and share our concern for their souls, it doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to pray to receive Christ right then, but they may do it later, and you had a big part in that. I remember this beautiful young lady that came up to me in the laundromat. You know, this is maybe 3 or 4 years down the road. She was telling me those same things that this person before them, you know, in the future is telling him, and God uses that. And so it's just another witness that the Lord will use to soften that person's heart. Because it takes, for some people, it's just going to take a while. They have to hear it and hear it and hear it. And then finally, as God begins to work that word into their hearts, the light comes on. And so the Holy Spirit uses that. But I appreciate you so much, Veronica. You're such a powerful witness. You're a great example to me and to our church. And so thank you for calling. What an encouragement to hear from you this morning. I hope you have a good weekend, and I will look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Well, we are at the last minute of the program, and so thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. And if you'd like to connect with me, you can email me PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, or I'm on social media on X, used to be called Twitter X, and my contact on X is @JeffShreve, S-C-H-R-E-V-E, J-E-F-F-S-C-H-R-E-V-E. Love to connect with you there, and hope that you have a great weekend. Put the Lord first. Make sure your heart is right with Him. and maybe spend some time with God just this morning, just to make sure that your heart is on fire for Him. And if it's not, say, Lord, I want that passion again. And so bring back the new again. I want to see you again. Bring back the way it was when we first began. God bless you. I'll be with you again next week.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.